Hello and welcome to RedTeamsTake.com, podcast number 25. Warner Brothers' third movie in the DCEU has hit theaters with Suicide Squad. Is their latest entry really the worst of the worst, or is this just the first step in the right direction? Much like Batman v Superman, critics have trashed Suicide Squad. Are they right, or are they just expecting too much? Joining me today is my guest from the True Believers, James, but all of his close friends, of course, call him Puddin'. James, welcome.
Hi, Reggie. How's it going?
All right. Also joining me is Susan, making her second appearance.
Yeah, I don't get a nickname.
Today's podcast is pretty much all about Suicide Squad, DC. I'm sure we'll get on a Zack Snyder bashing session here at some point, I'm sure, and we always seem to do.
Poor Zack.
I know. David Ayer.
He just wants to make a movie about a man, a Superman. That's all.
Yeah, I know.
Us cynical internet bastards
keep just putting him down.
We're destroying him. He will die for our sins one day, Reggie.
Well,
it will be a senseless death.
Suicide Squad. Your first initial reactions, thoughts?
Suicide Wad, more like it. No, yeah, I didn't think it was very good, honestly. It's kind of disappointing. Yeah.
All right, hit me with your highlights.
Highlights. Harley Quinn. Margot Robbie's awesome. Will Smith is really good as Deadshot. I like the idea that we actually get to see, which really hasn't been done in a movie before, where we get to see a large group of Batman's rogues galleries in flashbacks get put in jail by Batman.
Right.
Which we've never seen before. Usually we focus on one or two villains per movie in pretty much all these superhero films, and we see him put away Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Joker, Killer Croc. Seems like there is another Batman villain in there somewhere. You know, we get to see all that, and that's pretty neat. Usually we don't get to see that. Overall, though, I thought the movie was kind of boring, honestly. Any scene that didn't have Harley Quinn or Deadshot was just kind of boring, honestly. I really, given all the hype that's gone around this movie, I was actually pretty disappointed in it.
You know, I think for just a movie as itself, the movie is entertaining.
Yeah, it is.
It does have some of its flaws.
Oh, it's got a lot of flaws.
I've read a lot here before this recording and after I saw the movie. I think Warner Bros. Had the idea of trying to make this into, quote, their Guardians of the Galaxy / Deadpool type of movie.
Yeah, they did. And it's not on either note.
No, it doesn't come close. I mean, the movie does have its good points at certain times. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the two outstanding people in this movie are, as you mentioned, Will Smith and Margot Robbie in their respective characters. Those, I think, were the two that really got focused on the most out of all these.
I also thought it was weird. Jared Leto, given how much the trailers
showed
and
him,
all the marketing, he's really not in the movie very much.
And supposedly, from what I've also read here, there was a lot of scenes that got cut that he's come out here just recently kind of complaining about, that, you know, we shoot all these scenes and I'm barely in the movie.
I heard he was a real weirdo on this movie.
Well, he
got into character.
I know.
He was giving people like dead pigs, and he gave Margot Robbie an actual mouse, a live mouse. And
I think there's a
hell
point
he went on
like
Jimmy Kimmel and said, "This is a present from Mr. J," and it was a black box with like a little red ribbon. And I'm sorry, not Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show, and he's terrified because he doesn't know what the hell is in the box, and it's a little box on his desk. He opens it up carefully and he's like, "Well, there's nothing in that." And then out comes this little snake. And I mean, he just basically runs away.
No.
And just this tiny little snake. He's like, "Oh, it's from Mr. J. It's fine. It's not going to hurt you." He got into character. He took it literally. He had to stand up to a lot of big names. I mean, think about it.
No, he wasn't necessarily living up to big names that are in this movie. He was living up to the legend left by Heath Ledger as the Joker. And I think that's where a lot of his pressure was coming from.
I get that. But at the same time, I mean, I liked the movie.
Oh, there's nothing wrong.
I liked the movie as Suicide Squad, as he's saying Suicide Wad. I'm saying, yeah. I liked it, but at the same time, it was kind of like taking a pretty girl and making her ugly, and that was your movie, you know, trying to make it more ugly than it needed to be.
I think if there was a movie in the DC universe that Warner Brothers should have gone for a hard R for, this would have been the movie to do
not
put it out Batman versus Superman as an R version. This is the movie that they should have come out as a hard R and lost some of the comedy, and I think it might have been a better movie.
I guarantee you they're going to do that. They're going to to come out with a
special edition. I don't know that they will do that. After
David
they will probably going. They will most likely do something like that.
I seriously
doubt
it.
Sell more copies.
I seriously doubt it because after the backlash of what they got with Batman v Superman, them bringing out an alternate copy of it after the fact, I think has also hurt that movie. And I don't think they want to do that with Suicide Squad. To me, this is the movie they put out to theaters. Live with it.
I think so.
Because if you put out another version and let's say they announce in a month, oh, we're bringing out an R version as well, then what are you telling the fans? We're not happy with our theatrical version, so we're going to give you a different version for home video in hopes you'll buy it.
First off, Batman vs. Superman going for an R is stupid anyway,
right?
Because those are two most iconic superheroes, which are supposed to be kind of for kids and for adults with kids. And like the idea of Zack Snyder even thinking he can make an R-rated version of that is asinine. Even though on the one hand, it would make sense to make this one an R-rated movie, the problem is the Harley and Joker thing is
still gonna play
so
to kids.
Catered to, yeah, it's yeah. Very catered to the high school Hot Topic type of crowd. It's tough. It's you
I
know,
just
want to
throw my
that?
Biscuit at you.
Well,
I really
is.
Do.
Well,
because
see,
it just
everyone has their opinions about these movies, and that's what makes it so interesting. Zack Snyder
I'm not
such a polarizing
there's anything
person.
Wrong with that. I'm just saying that's kind of the crowd that they were going for, at least with that kind of romance. And this is not a critique of the movie. It's actually a very good point. Like, they're two psychotic criminals, so their romance is very immature.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's
and
why...
And weird in nature in general.
Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, it's very much like two teenage kids.
Now, from what I've also heard and read, that Warner Brothers toned down the scenes between Harley and the Joker in flashback scenes and other scenes because they felt it might come across as Joker being too brutal towards her and getting her to become around to who she is. So they kind of pulled that back for the movie.
The actual cartoon, which was for children, he was a lot worse. Like,
oh, he was violent.
He physically abused her in the cartoon. So, I mean, it was the 90s. We all thought spousal abuse was funny back then. But
what did you think of...
Most of the cast was good, by the way.
But I was going to ask you, though, what did you think of Viola Davis's portrayal of Amanda Waller?
Well, she was good.
Probably had to be about the third character down there after Margot Robbie and Will Smith.
Yeah.
And I really think she was more the kind of the villain than Enchantress
well, that's
was,
the
in,
problem.
In my opinion.
That's the problem. They should have... Again, there's like three different villains who are barely connected to each other.
Uh-huh.
Which is fine, but it's like I would have rather the main villain been either Amanda Waller or Joker.
I think the Joker would have been the better...
That's what I thought the movie was going to be. I always figured Amanda Waller was going to be the one pulling the strings, of course, but Joker was going to be the one that they thought they were out to
get. And that would have been a really viable... a legitimate villain to really go after, and if they really would have considered the R, then you really could have had yourself a good movie, and then the humor could have been around the Joker itself and not been so, in a certain ways, I don't want to say the humor was forced. I didn't see anything as far as that went, but it just had a certain vibe to it. I enjoyed it in a certain sense, but
I did too, but...
I mean, and I like the way they set up the movie at the beginning with, you know, she going to these guys at this dinner and going through and there's one by
and then
one.
Like, but then they get another intro after that where she introduces all of them. And then the next 20 minutes is like the second introduction. Like, here they are in jail now, one by one.
Yeah.
And,
then
there's another introduction for some of them. And it's like, okay, you know what happened there, though? This is due to the reshoots and the re-edits. So what I've read about it is originally the movie was going to be a lot darker.
And I think it should have been.
What they should have done was either pick one or the other. Because what happened was with the re-edits and the reshoots, they gave it like this vibrant bubblegum thing to it, which I liked, actually. But the problem is, what I read was between the producers and David Ayer, what they decided was to meet halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the mistake was. It'll be like fun and poppy in one scene, and then the next scene's like dreary. And it just
I also read somewhere, and I don't know how true this is, that Warner Brothers, when they decided to do Suicide Squad, fast-track this, and David Ayer was only given 6 weeks to write the script to the movie.
Oh, I believe it.
And that doesn't seem like a lot of time.
By the way, David Ayer, he wrote the script for Training Day. I think that's really one of the best movies of the early 2000s.
I can't remember where I saw it. There was an
interesting... He directed Fury, which was really good. But then he's done some terrible movies, too, so...
There was an article I read, and I can't remember exactly on what side I read it on. Someone did an article saying, comparing David Ayer having to fast-track writing the script compared to what Simon Pegg did with Star Trek Beyond, because Simon Pegg was basically on a short leash to get Star Trek Beyond written, but he had like more like 3 months to write it, you know, which is in Hollywood time really short.
Yeah.
The article basically said it's not that a good movie can't come out of the script being quickly written, but obviously, you know, one had a little bit better time at it than the other, because Beyond's getting these rave reviews from the critics, where this one's not. I don't remember. What did Batman v Superman get on Rotten Tomatoes? What, 29? 27?
Yeah.
And this one's sitting at 26.
Yeah.
Okay, right there. I mean, we like the Rotten Tomatoes to tell us. It's almost as if we're looking for validation to look at it and say, oh, well, they're telling me that this is a good thing because there's little tomato there. Or, oh, well, you know, it's only got this much of a percentage, so it must be crap. I'll just go past it. But there are really some good movies out there that have got really low scores on Rotten Tomatoes. And just because they are the mainstay of what everyone goes to now, because it used to be you could go and you'd see all different types of reviews, but it's just Rotten Tomatoes now that does all of them. And when you go on to iTunes or something like that, all they're done with is Rotten Tomatoes. And some of them, they won't even put a rating on them because they're, oh, it's so bad that...
Well, I'm not saying the Rotten Tomatoes or those critics or any of the critics who write for anything about movies are always right. I'm just saying that in retrospect, I just wonder, is it the movies themselves individually, or is it DC and Warner Brothers, or all these critics looking for something that, because Marvel's done such a good job with their movies, they're comparing it to Marvel, and I don't know what the deal is. You know?
I'm saying that, sorry James, no, but this is one of my biggest pet peeves on this particular movie. There was an article done, I've read it several times, looked all over the internet, where they actually tried to take down Rotten Tomatoes because
I saw that
the
article.
Fans needed that validation that, oh, this movie that we've been looking forward to is getting such a... And it's like, wait a minute,
like, go
we
see
like
it.
This, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, fanboys of anything are always going to be...
The movie
crazy.
Trailer. We like the movie trailer. Yeah. So based on that, it's got to be great. And on the movie trailers, if that would have been a movie, would have been great.
Yeah, that's 2 points that I want to get up. First one is fanboys are always crazy. That's not a point. But
that's just
fact. Rotten Tomatoes, you know, is an aggregator site. You're bringing in all these reviews and it doesn't take in what type of genre. You'll see like The Avengers has like a 97 and a movie... A really good movie will have a lower score. I don't know. I can't think right now. But they pretty much allow anyone now. Used to be an aggregator for critics. And then they changed it to top critics and then critics.
Uh-huh.
So top critics were the ones that actually were published in major newspapers, magazines, sites.
For those of
then,
you that
then
don't know.
Regular critics, which just put up, are like bloggers. And now it's like anyone can just put it up. So what I noticed was, it was the craziest thing whenever I'd watch, there's this commercial for Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And when the movie first came out, they were like, it's Rotten Tomatoes. It says something about see the movie that has an extremely high score on Rotten Tomatoes. And it was like 93. I kind of feel like a lot of fanboys might have been trying to fight that, because then I'd watch that commercial again and it was the same commercial, but they kept changing the score because they had to go live with what it was online. You'd see it and then it was like 86.
Yeah.
And then like the next day it's like 92, and then the next day it's like 89. And dude, the movie already came out. Quit trying to fight this score, guys.
Right.
Like, I really feel like that's what was going on with that. What was the other thing that... Oh, the trailers. This needs to be said. This is not something new, although it is relatively new. This has been going on for like the past decade. Terminator Salvation was like this, and there are a lot of other movies, and this is one. Trailers are made so well.
Oh, yeah.
There's a point where it's like, why are the trailers better than the movies? This was a good example. Like, the trailers, the first trailer that came out seemed to be more what the original David Ayer vision. It was creepy, it was weird, but it was good. And then, once they did all the reshoots, then they had the new bubblegum trailers with all those bright lights, and I loved them. And the Queen soundtrack, and everything was funny.
The one with the Queen soundtrack was the one that was a darker trailer. The one that was with... the Ballroom Blitz.
Oh, that's right.
That
okay.
one is that's the right. one that was a little more poppy that's and right. a little more.
But that was a good.
Let's get going. That's right. Now, it was the way that they were, no, we will not let you go. Let him go. You know, yeah. it's like all this struggle and everything. And you're thinking that that's the way that it's going to be because they showed over half of Jared Leto's Joker parts in those particular commercial ads. We didn't know this. We thought that these were just little snippets of what we're going to see. We didn't realize him walking down a hallway was going to be an entire scene for him.
Well, and that's going to lead to the second part of this point is that as consumers, we need to be a little bit savvy. These movies are merched out like crazy. These movies have essentially become, and they always have been, but they've essentially become, you know, and Disney has done this practice for years with the cartoons, but essentially these movies are commercials for the t-shirts, the toys, the action figures, mm-hmm. and it's a wider audience now because it's not just children, it's teenagers, it's adults in their 20s and adults in their 30s that go and out collectors. And buy these, yeah, and collectors that go and buy this merchandise. Collectors will, yeah, I'm not going to count them in this because they don't necessarily have the emotional attachment, but all these other people, they buy all this merch and it's like, you haven't even seen the movie yet. You've only seen the trailer.
And as I've said before in previous podcasts, yeah. those trailers are designed to do one thing for the movie studios, put your butt in the theater seat yeah. and pay your $10. That's what they're designed to do.
And
so therefore they look flash, dash, and great or dark yeah. and savvy. I mean, that's what they're designed to do. So you can make a great 2-minute trailer. The problem is, can you make a great 2-hour movie?
Yeah.
You can take the worst 2-hour movie out there and make it in 2 minutes look like it's the best thing you ever mm-hmm. want to go see. Like Star Trek the Motion Picture. I bet you could take that now, go back and redo a 2-minute trailer for it. And you'd be thinking, oh, cool, I want to go see that movie. You know, but then in the end, you'd have to be woken up by your friend an hour into it.
And that's why, on the one hand, people need to be a little bit smarter before they go out and buy all this merchandise, especially when you're buying t-shirts and the girls buying the Harley Quinn outfits and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You need to be careful and make sure you know what you're investing in is good. Not just good, but something you like before you make all these investments and all this merchandise. On the other hand, one of these days, people might actually start wising up and waiting. I mean, it's one thing if this were a sequel and we already knew what we were in for and everyone's buying, but people are going to start wising up maybe and start waiting to buy all the merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
That's really going to change the movie industry when that happens. It'll probably never happen, but
the only way it would be if these companies were to hold it back and then release it after.
Well, that's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, because,
yeah. no.
I mean, you think about it, and it's no. these people wait in line. They camp out just to...
They release these merchandise stuff, some of the stuff before the movie.
Yeah. Action figures.
I mean, just like the trailers. They want to draw your interest into it. They want to put your butt in the theater. They want to get you excited about that movie.
Crazy is, I remember when the Star Wars prequels came out, and everyone thought it was weird that people were already buying stuff and waiting in line, you know, and I'm just talking about the prequels. That uh-huh. was fairly rare. Like, it still happened for movies every now and then, but it was kind of rare.
Yeah, but everyone was and thinking that going everyone prequels, already so...
and it doesn't matter, everyone already knew what Star Wars was. Even if episode one sucked, which it kind of did, you were still like investing in a Star Wars in Star Wars merchandise. Nowadays people do it for anything, and it's hold on, I really liked Margot Robbie in this movie. The
Every
story
man
was...
liked Margot Robbie because of her outfit.
I think her character,
she's
though,
in
was...
the rain, she's got Daddy's Little Monster, and
I think
she's soaking wet.
I think besides Margot Robbie and just her natural looks anyway, it was the
she
first
was really
time,
good. She it, was like,
well, that is yeah. the first time you're seeing that particular character mm-hmm. not in a cartoon or the comics.
And honestly, you could argue that what she did to that character is what Heath Ledger did with the Joker, is what Hugh Jackman did with Wolverine, what Robert Downey Jr. did with Iron Man.
Christian
and what,
Bale did with Batman.
Yeah.
To a point.
Yeah. It's the same idea. Unfortunately, what was going on around her wasn't it
uh-huh.
as good as what she was doing.
She kept reading all this stuff on the movie and Suicide Squad and all the other stuff, which was great. I did not read anything about this movie other than a couple little things here mm-hmm. and there. Even what I did read before the movie didn't even tell me anything about the movie. I intentionally stayed away from it. I wanted such a clean going into the movie that I watched it untainted, so to speak. And I enjoyed it to a certain extent, yes, but at the same time, that movie could have been better as well. I'm probably not as nitpicking about it as much as you are. Of course, and again,
I had a whole, you just saw it, I had a whole night to think about
right.
it. That's the difference.
Right, and you know, you had a little bit different view on Batman v Superman. Now, at first, we kind of had the same view, but our tones have both kind of changed a lot on Batman v Superman. Now, of course, I'm still waiting to watch the R version of this just to see what they've done.
Oh, even when we did our grading, I gave that movie a C, I think.
Right, and I gave it like B minus or something like that. But as a standalone movie, Suicide Squad, it's
I think I liked it better than Batman versus Superman. Hard to say.
I think there's some things they did right with this movie, but there's also
about equal, yeah. Because
I mean, they did some things right in this movie, but at the same time, you can still tell it's DC and Warner Brothers still doing what they've done already.
Yeah.
And they haven't really learned anything at the same time, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. And that's why, you know, I see the trailer for Justice League, and it's, yeah, there's humor in it now, but I don't think the lack of humor is necessarily the problem with Snyder's. We keep saying that his movies are too dark and dank, but there's still the ultimate fundamental flaw of his movies, which are everything has to be like this big moment. Every scene is just, look at this, be awestruck by what's going on.
Sometimes
like,
over the top.
Yeah, and it's, okay, great, but what's this movie about? Why do I feel this way? What's going on? And that's the problem. And I think he can add as many jokes as he wants. He's had movies with jokes. I still don't think Justice League is going to fix the problem that he's been having.
I was really kind of hoping Suicide Squad was a lot better than Batman v Superman. Now, it was better.
In some ways, it was.
Yes. Now
Batman v Superman, I think, actually had a better story, maybe.
Now, this really puts a lot of pressure on Wonder Woman.
I've kind of lost interest in DC now. Like, I'm like,
but if you think
if
about
it's
it,
good, great. Like, I'll see it twice, but if it's not, whatever.
I mean, this really puts a lot of pressure on Wonder Woman to be even better than the other previous movies, because after Wonder Woman, then 5 months later, you get the Justice League movie next year. So, I mean, they're really kind of
the thing
putting
about,
themselves
and I want to point out all three of these movies, this movie, Batman vs. Superman, and Man of Steel, all three of them have one thing in common, and that is, and by this point, Ian, I'm being a little bit harder on this one, I think, because this is the third time I've gone through this now with these movies, is that all of these DC Universe movies have great parts. Have great moments that are just awesome, but it's just not a cohesive, something's missing.
Why would you want to go back and change the director's tone of the movie, the vision David Ayer had with his original script and what he first shot? Why would you want to go back and change the tone? I mean, because Deadpool is a unique movie in its own. You can't duplicate that and make it work in DC or Marvel. Same way you can't make Guardians of the Galaxy work in some other type of superhero universe. Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think in Deadpool in my mind, have put such a certain tonal shift that studios want to try and grab that it's muddling up the rest. You know, those are certain unique aspects of these superhero movies that work for them. It doesn't work for the rest.
Well, it could have worked for Suicide Squad, but I mean, it's like you said, it was a very rushed production. Everything about what DC's doing is wrong. Since you brought up Guardians of the Galaxy, I'm glad you brought them up, because there was one thing that I really wanted to say that I was worried that I would forget. Guardians of the Galaxy played Spirit in the Sky. You guys don't get to. Okay? And while we're at it, Iron Man played AC/DC and Black Sabbath. You guys don't get to do that either. Okay, that soundtrack
should be unique.
They played whatever obvious thing they could, and that's part of the bad editing with this movie. That's how you can tell that it's two movies mushed together, and so they add these musical cues to kind of cover that up. It really ends up being jarring. I read online there were something like 25 songs, and I noticed it while I was watching it. Every scene is just a song, and I can deal with that to a point, but first off, don't play songs that were iconic musical cues in your competitions. Secondly,
because if they'd have kept it knocked down to what they should have, they could have made the Bohemian Rhapsody and that one other song.
They should have done like a whole, they should have just 70s. Like stuck with Queen or something.
Yeah. I mean, they could have really had something unique that the others hadn't done. Iron Man had all the AC/DC. You could have had all Queen or whatever the case may have been.
If I can say, I actually, before you move on the music, I watched 15-minute podcast of this movie a few days ago off of YouTube, and he said this exact same thing, was that DC got slammed for not having enough music in Batman v Superman.
So they
just overfilled with, okay, the plane is starting to go over, let's play Spirit in the Sky now because there's a plane in the sky.
I couldn't believe when they played that. I was like, are you serious?
Where was Ballroom Blitz? I mean, they did play a little bit of Queen, but it wasn't enough to connect with even a little bit of the trailer. The part where they're going around and they're in there getting their drinks. Okay, we've been beaten. We're done. You know, they're in there. Margot Robbie's, what do you want? Will Smith's like, what am I, 12? You know, that wasn't in the movie. And then when she gets down, she asks Gator Guy or whatever his name
Killer
is.
Killer Croc.
Thank you. This is what's good, is that you guys are good at this. I'm just a normal person going to see these movies.
There, some of those characters I've never heard of.
But Killer Croc is like, bear. They didn't give him hardly any lines.
No, and it was just, you know who that actor was. He was on...
I've got it written down here.
I can't pronounce his name, and I'm not
going to
try.
I can't pronounce it either.
But he was on Lost. He was actually a fan favorite character called Mr. Echo. And I make fun of Lost a lot, but it's like, no, when the first couple seasons were really good, and he was a great character on that show, and he's one of the few that they didn't get back. I guess he hated the show or something. After they killed him off, they couldn't get him back for the last season. He's a good actor, and they wasted him, by the way.
Right. I think Killer Croc can make an interesting Batman villain.
He's never been... I was surprised by Deadshot. Neither of them have ever been my favorite Batman villains, but seeing Deadshot in this movie
could be really
against Batman was, you know what, that is interesting. I did like seeing him.
Well, see, here's my fear with at the end of the Suicide Squad movie, you know, where Joker goes in and you assume he's breaking out Harley and he's going to be successful at it. My fear is with the solo Batman movie, those two are going to end up being the featured villains. Now, granted, they've also come out and said there's supposed to be a lot more of the iconic villains in that movie than just one or two, but I have a feeling those are the two that they're going to focus on more. Yeah. As much as I wouldn't mind seeing Batman go after the Joker, because as you said, they always seem to be doing the iconic ones in the second movie. But at the same time, we've seen enough Batman versus Joker in different incarnations of the movie. I wouldn't mind seeing someone completely different, though, for one or two movies.
Something I didn't like about that particular scene that you're saying that I have a problem with is when Joker comes in and he's got a thing across his chest, even though he's dressed in police garb that says, Joker, we don't want to know before you get in there. We want you to take off the helmet and then turn out to be the Joker. Don't just...
I guess she's kind of got a valid point.
To the tailor and says, can you put Joker on it so I can walk in and everyone knows who I am so I can spoil it for him?
It was kind of funny because I do remember seeing that and I'm like, that's kind of funny. But then I was like, well, maybe the way the camera's going, maybe it's not going to be him. I was like, maybe that's the joke. It's going to be somebody else. No, it was him.
Some of the things the critics put out, it says, one of them is, if you liked the scene in Batman v Superman where Bruce Wayne watched YouTube videos about the future members of the Justice League, you'll love Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad is a weird movie, and not just because it's about motley crew of supervillains set in the DC universe. The movie itself is also motley amalgamation, a strange blend of different tones, stories, and pacing all mashed into something that has cool individual elements but never really comes together, which is pretty much what you've just said. Another one, while Suicide Squad isn't as poorly stitched together as its nearly unintelligible forefather, Batman v Superman, it is still patchy, makeshift effort of mismatched tones, tacked on jokes, messy narrative, while flippant scenes of humor assist its entertainment factor. The second DCU film ain't no Deadpool either. So there you go. That's what some of the critics had to say about.
Two things I want to point out. If it feels like I'm really ragging on this movie, I am. The whole thing of them like shooting out these zombies in a city, I swear to God, it was like, what a disappointment. It felt like I was playing a Resident Evil game, honestly. And I'm a big fan of Resident Evil, but that is really what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is what you guys are doing?
It's Attack of the Bubble Wrap, people.
Yeah, it just wasn't interesting. The whole city was already dead, so why are they there? And actually, why were they there? I'll get to that in a minute. The other point, the story made no sense. So it's that. It's the whole Resident Evil thing I thought was super boring. I really thought it was going to be this group of villains who have... I figured they were going to do the thing where they have the bomb implants in their heads, which they did. They're not bombs. Yeah, they're like tiny little bombs.
Because it blew off Slipknot's head.
Yeah, he was in the movie for
His head fall off?
Oh, yeah, because they dropped him right in front of a camera and right behind a...
Well, they didn't show it completely, but you got the quick
little
his head went off.
And then he's like down there in front of a window and they got a camera there where it's like, body, no head.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't get gruesome with it, but...
Could have.
They could have.
You know, if they're doing that, instead of a movie about fighting zombies, why don't we have a movie where they have have to go and fight these terrorists that they do not care about fighting, but they have to because they have a bomb in their head. I thought that's what it was going to be about. Or they fight these terrorists, or they fight the Joker and these mobsters.
Well, see, I was just sitting here thinking...
I thought that's what it was going
to
be.
With everything you were just talking about, I was just sitting here thinking, what would have been a more interesting movie for me to see, you know, when Amanda Waller says, you know, all your objective is whatever designation she had for who they're supposed to be going after.
HCT1.
Yeah. What if HCT1 would have been Batman... Joker was holding Batman, and he's sending all the villains that he'd put away to go rescue Batman. That would have been interesting. That would have been interesting, too, and find out at the very end when they get to see who they're rescuing, it's actually the one who put him in jail in the first place that they're rescuing because Joker has somehow captured Batman. That would have been interesting as well, yeah. And an interesting twist.
And the twist in the movie made no sense.
No.
Like, why was she there? And also, the whole setup of the movie doesn't make sense because remember, one of the people that was supposed to be in the Suicide Squad was the Enchantress, and before they even bring the team together,
she goes off and
character
now
becomes the main villain. So why were you bringing this group together anyway?
It's almost like Amanda Waller put together this Task Force X, and then she became the target for them to rescue just to prove a point that they could do it,
which makes no sense.
I mean, that's called a training exercise. That's not a plot for a movie to pull
and
these guys together.
And that secondary villain, the Incubus, was about as boring as villains get.
That's just nothing more than a henchman. That's nothing more than Bane used in Batman and Robin. Waste of a character. Supposedly, and I don't remember this, but I found this back in March, Warner Brothers announced that David Ayer and Will Smith had signed to do a sequel for Suicide Squad.
I'd like to see Will Smith again. I would.
I don't know if another Suicide Squad movie itself really designates a sequel.
No,
I mean, one time is great, but I don't know how do you pull them all back in, because you can't keep them in jail all the time, because then who does Batman fight eventually?
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of
I'd like to see
weird.
Will Smith again. But at the same time, like, this movie wasn't great.
I mean, to me, I'd like to see Deadshot, Harley Quinn, Joker, and Amanda Waller in Killer Croc. Those are the only five I want to see out of that movie again.
Okay, I will say, I did actually kind of like the actor who played Boomerang.
Oh, Jai Courtney?
The character, and I'm not blaming the actor for this, I thought he was funny, but that character did absolutely nothing. Like, why was he there?
Almost like comic relief.
Yeah, but just for comic relief? He's like basically a drunk Jar Jar at that point.
I never thought about that, but
I thought he did have some funny moments. And I liked him, but
one thing that came
and Killer Croc, I don't know.
He could be an interesting character.
He could,
right.
But he wasn't. He was so boring in this movie.
Yeah. One thing that supposedly was announced by Warner Brothers is Man of Steel 2 is now in active development and is a top priority for the studio. The report emphasizes that Henry Cavill's version of Superman, they want to get it right for audiences, and is the big concern for Warner Brothers and DC at the moment. Man of Steel 2 now joins the DCEU release date of basically going on the waiting list, which also includes the Batman solo movie, a possible Suicide Squad sequel, and reports of whether or not it's true or not if Harley Quinn's spinoff movie will actually happen.
They're going Marvel. They've needed to do it. I even said this after we watched the movie, that if they start doing these individual movies to introduce the characters after they've already been introduced,
here's the thing,
they did their Avengers movie first, and then they're going to go back and do all of their individual movies.
Yeah, but problem is, most of these movies here that I just listed aren't going to probably happen until after the first two Justice League movies come out. So that's another problem. They're jumping into the deep end instead of wading in on the kiddie end of the pool and working their way down.
The real problem, though, is it doesn't really matter. You can nitpick all you want, but the fact of the matter is the DCU movies aren't very good. That's the problem.
They got some
issues. The Marvel movies, the worst Marvel movies
are still better than
all three of these.
Yeah.
The worst Marvel movies are. And when I say Marvel, I mean, I'm specifically saying MCU. But the worst MCU movies are still better than all three of these. That's not good.
No.
That's not good.
See, how long does Warner Brothers keep on going? Because they're so far into the pot right now. If they stop, they're going to look really bad. But if they continue and they keep getting these reviews, they're still going to look bad, if not even worse.
You know, this movie, I could see this movie gaining a cult
status.
I don't know. I part of me would say I could see it gaining a cult status. Because like I said, there is some cool stuff in this movie. But the problem is, again, like all that merchandise that went with this movie, there's going to come a point where people may not be buying this DCU stuff anymore. And I know DCU has its fans.
Some of these DC fans, fanboys, as you would say, about these movies.
They're the craziest fanboys of all.
They're almost right up there with the hardcore Trekkies upset with the Abrams universe or the Kelvin timeline,
well,
as you want to call it now.
No, like actual DCU fanboys, like people who are like
Marvel sucks convince, no matter what. Yeah,
they're crazy. I don't care about Marvel or DC. I just want a good movie.
And it seems like on all of our podcasts, if you go back, especially like the last five or six, all we do is bash on DC.
I know.
But problem
I
is,
don't want to do that. I really wanted to like this movie.
Problem is,
I
though,
really wanted to.
The problem is, though, they're not making it easy for us to. Because me personally, out of all the superheroes.
You and I are not overly negative people. I might have been when I started, but I definitely am not now.
I mean, my favorite superhero character of all time, Marvel or DC, is Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my guy as far as superheroes go.
Can you believe it hasn't even been, oh my gosh, it hasn't even been 5 years since the Nolan movies ended.
2012 was the last one.
And we've already gone in this weird direction.
To me, what they really should have done, and I think we discussed this before, it should have been Man of Steel, Man of Steel 2, a new Batman movie, Wonder Woman. We should be looking forward to the Flash movie next, and maybe the second Batman movie before you even get to the Justice League movie, or even Batman versus Superman. I mean, there should have been...
You mean make it organic?
Yeah. I mean, granted...
And I agree with you, but even still, like, the way they're doing it could have been good if they would have just made good movies. Like, that's really the crux of all this, is that they're really not making good movies. And, like, if you go back, Warner Brothers has had a bad history of making bad superhero movies for decades.
Yeah, but they had... They had a template, though, they could have looked off of, and said, okay.
They had two templates. They had Christopher Reeve's Superman and
Christopher Nolan's Batman. They had two templates. They could have looked off what did these movies do right and gone from there instead of trying to cram everything into one pot.
If you really look at the list of all the DC movies starting from the very first one, it's crazy. Because the first two Christopher Reeve's movies are great.
The third one's okay, but it's not great.
I'm going to say the third one is terrible. I hate the third one.
But it's better, hell, a lot better than Superman 4.
Well, yeah.
Of course, anything could beat Superman 4.
We've discussed it. I think Superman 4 might be the worst one. Worst superhero movie
ever.
I mean, it's either that or Supergirl. Well, Catwoman.
Well, there's several in there.
There's a couple that are really close.
Yeah.
But yeah, you look at the DC movies, those first two Christopher Reeve movies, the Christopher Nolan movies, those are five awesome ones.
And if you really want
to. And then we have like a couple like average ones, like the two Tim Burton Batmans and the Bryan Singer Superman. Those are pretty average. They weren't
horrible.
They weren't particularly well liked by adults. I know kids loved the Tim Burton Batmans, but they weren't really well reviewed. And watching them now, the kids that grew up with them are always, at least myself, I'm like, yeah, they're okay. They're kind of misguided.
Yeah, but the first Batman one with Tim Burton's not that bad. It's good because it's got Jack Nicholson in it.
But I mean, you just look at that. You just look at the list. And then after that, it's pretty much all, I mean, yeah, you got Watchmen, but pretty much all bottom barrel stuff like Steel and Supergirl and Green Lantern and all these like just really bad
movies.
Which one
did Spawn?
Spawn is technically neither DC nor Marvel.
Yeah.
They were
done in the late 90s. I don't remember. It's some odd comic book company that had it.
It was a spinoff from Marvel. It was Todd McFarlane. Vertigo was DC, right?
I don't know.
Image. It was Image that did Spawn.
Mm. Okay. Anyway, something kind of interesting dealing with Warner Brothers that I kind of found funny. And you might find this funny too. I don't know. There's a guy living over in the UK and he's threatening to take Warner Brothers and DC to court on the count of false advertising. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I kind of laughed at this myself. The guy who lives in the UK points out specific scenes that were included in the Suicide Squad trailer but did not end up in the feature film. He's obviously seen this. He says, along with his brother, who happens just to be a lawyer, are going to sue Warner Brothers and DC for false advertising, misleading visual images, and gaining a profit from us and millions of others due to these acts. His thing was, quote, Suicide Squad trailers showcase several specific Joker scenes. I had to pay for the whole movie just so I could go and watch those specific scenes that Warner Brothers / DC had advertised in their trailers and TV spots. These scenes are when Joker banged his head on his car window, when Joker says, let me show you my toys, when Joker punches the roof of his car, when Joker drops a bomb with his face all messed up and says bye-bye. None of these scenes were in the movie. I drove 300 miles to London to go watch the specific scenes they had explicitly advertised in their TV ads, and they did not show them to me at all.
People problems, I guess.
Even if this somehow make it to a court over in the UK, my guess is the judge is going to laugh him right out of the courtroom. But
well, I mean, Are you saying that?
So does this mean that everyone that is a fan of the DC universe is going to be getting pain and suffering now? I mean, if that's the case, then...
Are you saying that a trailer has to, like, have...
Live up to...
every spoiler in the movie? You know, if that's the case, like, you know, there's been a few rare occasions where the trailer doesn't show me anything, where the trailer is deceiving, and it ends up working in my favor.
I think the best example of any of the trailers that they put out that didn't hardly show you anything, but still got you hyped for the movie... Now, granted, I'm talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens. The two teaser trailers and the one full trailer they put out showed you nothing.
Yeah.
Gave away nothing.
Can you imagine
if this guy was like,
I saw Luke Skywalker's hand, and if I knew that was going to be the only scene with him in it, I wouldn't have seen it in this movie. I mean, that's the same argument. But,
yeah, I know. The same argument. Those three trailers alone gave you nothing of the movie. That movie was great. Now, I think all of us who saw the movie were expecting a lot anyway. But still, to me, those were the definition of what a trailer should be. Get you excited about it, but show you still nothing in the same sense.
Maybe we need to just stop watching trailers altogether. over and over again on our phones and on YouTube.
Because I can remember a time where the only time you got to see a trailer for a movie
was in the theater.
Was when you went to the theater to see a movie. And
or if you got a DVD that just happened to have that trailer on it.
Because a movie that came out from a particular studio was coming out a month later, and that's the only way you saw a trailer. Now you got YouTube and all these websites and entertainment websites that put the stuff out for everyone to see, so you get so oversaturated with being able to watch this trailer over and over again, at some point you get disappointed when you do go see the movie. But as I said earlier, those trailers are made to put your butt in the theater anyway. Yeah. That's what their job is to do.
Instead of like crying and suing about it, you could just like stop seeing these movies. And you could definitely stop buying all the merchandise that goes to these movies, and the companies will listen at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's when they'll start listening, like, oh, we need to redo what we're doing.
Kind of the real quick last question. With all the movies that DC has, and Warner Brothers and DC have announced that they say they're going to do, as best answers you can give, do they stop and retool completely, or are they forced to go through with it and suffer down the line that they started and hope it turns around?
I don't know. I think they're going to have to do what, you know, obviously they're going to have to do Wonder Woman and Justice League, but I really think they're going to have to just, you know, they keep making money, but it's at the same time, like this movie did with Batman versus Superman did, was already by Saturday it was making less money. I've never seen a movie do that, by the way.
According to what I saw, Suicide Squad made right around $65 million on Friday, and on Saturday it barely took in $36 million.
I wasn't reading necessarily about this movie, but I was reading the phenomenon behind word of mouth is obviously Twitter. Just a few years ago, if a movie was actually bad, but it was a big hyped movie, it would do well all weekend.
Uh-huh.
But now it's Batman vs. Superman dropped that Sunday. This movie already dropped Saturday. Man, we can't even look at opening weekend anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Now, the question is, does Suicide Squad have enough legs to at least get to the $400-$600 million range worldwide box office before it drops off
completely? Well, they can't get China to allow their people to watch this movie because Joker's too scary. But for China, I guess. That's an uphill battle. If the movie was really good, they probably could have, but I don't know. Between that and the bad word of mouth, I don't know. It actually broke a record. It did better in its opening weekend than Guardians of the Galaxy.
And as of this recording, with its worldwide total and its U.S. total, it's almost made $300 million in its first weekend.
Which... on the one hand, that sounds like blasphemy because this movie's nowhere. It's a Guardians of the Galaxy wannabe, but it's nowhere near that level.
No. I don't think it's going to have the staying power. It's going to be like Batman versus
Superman. I can also say the reason why this one did better, A, the hype was crazy.
Right.
The Harley Quinn Joker hype was like insane because I was really hyped for it too. And B, after Guardians of the Galaxy, we can make a crazy movie in August and go see it. That's also a factor. It's been done once. When you make a record, it's always meant to be broken. Mm-hmm. But
what would you give grade of Suicide Squad?
Personally, when I went today, I mean, I wore my Harley clothes.
But what grade would you give it, though? Honest opinion.
God, don't make me be honest. C minus.
Okay.
That's probably what I would make it.
That's probably what I would give
only
it.
Only because Jared Leto was the Joker for as little bit of time as he was. I just love Leto, period.
Well, and I'd give it a C minus. The cast was really really good. There were moments of brilliance. It was just like Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel. There were moments of absolute fun brilliance, uh-huh. and then it kind of bogged down. I'd give it probably a C-.
I'm hovering right around just a C.
Yeah, somewhere around
there. I don't necessarily hate it, but I'm not in love with it.
Somewhere around there. I know we kind of bashed it, but it deserved a good bashing. But the praise that I'm giving it is Will Smith, Margot Robbie, Viola Davis, and Jared Leto were a great cast. One actor I didn't like in this movie, and for the most part, I liked all the actors. I even liked the girl that played Enchantress. I thought she was really good, but that character was just so boring and nonsensical. But one actor that I didn't really care for was the guy who played Rick Flagg.
Yeah.
Like, I read that originally they were going
to be a dick. That's the point.
Well, I don't think he was a good actor. Like, originally they were supposed to get...
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of his name, but he backed out because he couldn't do it.
Bane / Mad Max. What's his name? Tom Hardy. Like, even though I forgot his name for only a second. Like, he's one of my favorites, and he was supposed to play Rick Flagg. Not everyone can be Tom Hardy, but something about this actor I just didn't care for. Yeah. Like, he was good looking, but like, I just thought
he was kind of odd. It would have been interesting to see how Tom Hardy would have played that role, too.
He'd have looked at it, said, thanks, mates, and then he just would have walked off.
Not necessarily. It's a paycheck.
No,
a paycheck.
Will Smith was on there. And, you know, the script.
I'm sorry, but it's a Family Guy moment where, I love the movies where they say the name of the movie in movie. What are we, some kind of Suicide Squad? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Well, it's bad writing. It's really bad writing.
That is the biggest piece of fromage that you can... For those that don't know what fromage is, it's cheese.
I'd agree with that. That's pretty bad writing.
Biggest piece of cheese you could put in there is mentioning the name of the movie in the movie.
You can do it, but you have to be good at it. I thought that line was terrible, too.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Another Reggie's take where DC takes
a
beating.
DC, you are straight at a C right now, and I think we're all being a little generous.
So
we're giving you a C because you've hired good actors, basically.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Yes. This is not necessarily a DC problem, but this is a problem that I'm seeing in a lot of movies lately. And this one did it. The Enchantress at the end. This is another one of those movies. They did this with Apocalypse and X-Men. They've done this in some other movie. Well, they did this with Ghostbusters. They've done this with some other movie. I forget what. You're seeing this trend now where everyone's like, the villain's too powerful. And all they're doing is just standing there, and there's a lot of lightning and CGI moving around, but that's it. Marvel's been pretty good about avoiding that. The MCU, I should say, has been pretty good about avoiding that. I can't really think of a movie offhand where they do that. They've had their own problems, which is, let's bring in the guy that looks just like our superhero, and they're going to fight each other, and they do that over and over again. I would take that any day over the Apocalypse or the Enchantress thing, where they're too powerful. They're standing there, and CGI is going off. That is so boring. Try to think of something better than that, guys. I know that might have been cool if this were a Final Fantasy game back in 2002, but it's not. This is a movie in 2017. Like, you guys gotta, like, actually do something.
I think that pretty much wraps it up. If you haven't seen Suicide Squad and you just listened to this podcast, well, we just spoiled it for you. If you have seen Suicide Squad, let us know what you thought. I want to thank my guest Susan for joining us. James, as always, from the True Believers. Obviously, you can find James's stuff and then the True Believers links on my website on reggiestake.com. Follow me on Twitter at reggiestake, Facebook at reggiestake website, YouTube. You can find me there. Thank you for listening. Obviously, we'll talk at you again later on podcast number 26, and we'll talk at you later.
Bye, Puddin'.